How do we deal with roadblocks?
How do you deal with roadblocks?
At Pixar, when we were making Toy Story, there came a time when we were forced to admit that the story wasn't great. It just wasn't great. We stopped production for 5 months. We paid them all to twiddle their thumbs while the team perfected the story into what became Toy Story. And if they hadn't had the courage to stop, there would have never been a Toy Story the way it is, and there probably would have never been a Pixar. We called that the story crisis, and we never expected to have another one. But you know what? There's been one on every film. We don't stop production for 5 months. We've gotten a little smarter about it. But there always seems to come a moment where it's just not working, and it's so easy to fool yourself, to convince yourself that it is, when you know in your heart that it isn't. Well, you know what? It's been that way with almost every major project at Apple, too. Take the iPhone. We had a different enclosure design for this iPhone until way too close to the introduction to ever change it. And I came in one Monday morning, I said, I just don't love this. I can't convince myself to fall in love with this. And this is the most important product we've ever done. And we pushed the reset button. We went through all of the zillions of models we'd made and ideas we'd had. And we ended up creating what you see here as the iPhone, which is dramatically better. It was hell because we had to go to the team and say, all this work you've done for the last year, we're going to have to throw it away and start over. And we're going to have to work twice as hard now because we don't have enough time. And you know what everybody said? Sign us up. That happens more than you think, because this is not just engineering and science. There is art, too. Sometimes, when you're in the middle of one of these crises, you're not sure you're going to make it to the other end. But we've always made it, and so we have a certain degree of confidence. Although, sometimes you wonder. I think the key thing is that we are not all terrified at the same time. I mean, we do put our heart and soul into these things.
What's the iPod's tipping point?
It was difficult for a while, because for various reasons, the Mac had not been accepted by a lot of people who went with Windows. And we were just working really hard, and our market share wasn't going up. It makes you wonder sometimes whether you're wrong. Maybe our stuff isn't better, although we thought it was. Or maybe people don't care, which is even more depressing. It turns out with the iPod, we kind of got out from that operating system glass ceiling, and it was great because it showed that Apple innovation, Apple engineering, Apple design did matter. The iPod captured 70% market share. I cannot tell you how important that was after so many years of laboring and seeing a 4-5% market share on the Mac. To see something like that happen with the iPod was a great shot in the arm for everybody.